The boundaries which divide life and death are at best shadowy and vague. Edgar Allan Poe. Welcome to Grimly.
I thought you meant it was going to be like annoying for you to drink it.
I was like, you don't have
to
drink it.
No, I want to finish it.
It's okay.
Love Topo Chico.
I know. It was
an impulse buy.
I mean, that entire impulse buy.
Did you go to that little?
I went to the Scoopers.
Oh, that's
little
mart
thing.
Oh, yeah. And they had a,
So I spent like $30 in candy.
You got some good stuff. Well,
yeah.
Half of it was good.
That's the weirdest thing you do.
What, that I like taffy?
Yes. That you go to the beach and get saltwater taffy.
That is something that people do.
Yes, all people do it.
Well, I guess I'm just in my geriatric era.
Well, that's that one thing that you do.
Just saltwater taffy, black licorice.
No, you eat black licorice.
No,
too?
Fuck no.
Disgusting.
Like some,
only
I don't
a
know,
true psychopath.
Ginger chews or something, or there's originals.
Yes, peppermint like candies, those chalky ones. Ew.
Yeah.
And that saltwater taffy is in line with all of those, is what I'm telling you. I even tried it yesterday.
You tried to try it.
I spit it out.
You did.
I was like, that was worse than I expected
what
it to be.
What was the flavor?
It kind of had a... Okay, so I would bet that it would soften up.
Those are pretty soft for taffy.
I feel like it would hurt my teeth.
Yeah, that is a hard thing with saltwater taffy in general.
Like, yeah, and a roll, like Rolos are another one that's sort of like a really sticky...
Raisin candies. Have you ever had those?
No. Raisin?
Reasons.
No.
R-I-S-E-N.
No.
They're like caramel covered in chocolate.
Okay.
But like it's a very
I hate
tacky,
that. It's not for me.
Caramel.
Well, that's kind of like those taffies. Kind of like that.
Well, I really liked those too, but I just don't eat them because I feel like they're going to pull out my fillings.
Yeah. Just yank them right out.
Just yank it right out. That's all I need is a dental appointment again. Well, whatever.
It's okay. You can have your thing.
Yeah. It was, I was drunk when I walked over there.
Yes. See that?
That is it. By the way, welcome to Grimly.
Classy lady walks. Not drives.
Yes. We are classy ladies that walk and don't drive drunk.
Yeah, it was just like 2 blocks.
Or
like,
yeah, it was a very quick walk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I am Missy.
Oh, and I'm Meg. Welcome to Grimly.
We are two unserious people, obviously, that talk about seriously creepy topics. And we are in Long Beach still.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a little wine drunk. And so I walked to a ice cream store, but it was just like a very big convenience store
with an ice cream
that had like an ice cream counter, but that was still had a long line.
Yeah,
when I walked over,
like, what, 9:45 or something, like pretty late.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, Coleman's here too.
She didn't introduce me,
right? How dare you? I am part of this pod as well. But yeah, we were gonna watch a movie. I was like, we need some candy.
Yes, that's true. I was like, oh, just have more dinner.
You were like, shut the fuck up.
That is so annoying.
It's okay. I
that's how fucking lazy I am. I'm like, I want the candy, but I'm not gonna get up and get it.
That's fine. I'll go get it. That's, you know, par for the course, I think. But yeah.
Do you have a Sigu?
Oh, God. There
What's
was something.
Next?
What was I going to say? Something about our Long Beach adventure so far.
I saw a dead seal on the beach.
You did see a dead That's seal a this morning on your walk, which is very sad.
I know it was sad.
Yeah.
There was almost nobody out there. It was very.
Oh, really?
And it did rain a little.
Yeah, I know. You in the early morning walks.
Yeah.
We are not one and the same. You're like, I'm going to go for an hour walk at like 9 a.m. I was like, no.
No, it's good. You're right. We can do
no, yeah. It's fine. I just am not that type of morning person. I need to sit on the couch.
I'm that type of morning person on Saturday. You know what I mean?
Good. That's great. Lovely.
Saturday. The other days I just slog through life like the rest of the world, and one day I'm like, I want to have a fun day.
I'm gonna go on a beach walk. And
yeah,
like, okay,
for my mental health.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna sit on the couch.
That's something I do too.
Yeah, yeah, I am just definitely not a morning person in that way. I'm not morning person in general.
Well, you, yeah,
yeah. I also have to finish some notes.
Oh.
It's fine, I got it finished. But yes, I don't have a segue for what we're talking about today.
What are we talking about today?
Okay. So on a warm Florida December night in 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 prepared for a routine landing in Miami. The crew, experienced and confident, expected nothing more than a standard flight to close out the year. But just minutes from the runway, a simple malfunction of a tiny light bulb set off a chain of confusion and errors that would send the massive jet plunging into the dark waters of the Florida Everglades. It was a tragedy that claimed countless lives. But what followed after the crash would spark whispers of hauntings, ghostly sightings, and the possibility that Flight 401 truly never left the skies. Have you heard this story?
I have heard this story.
Okay. It's a pretty popular one.
Yeah. The plane stuff is so scary. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think that's a universal feeling. Where you're
maybe don't listen to this if you're flying soon.
We shouldn't be up here. We're up here seated. I don't
know. In a weird tube of
physics.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
So this is terrifying.
Yeah, don't listen to this if you're going to be flying. Like, just
trying not to remember it. If ever.
I mean, yeah, I, as someone who is scared of flying, I've definitely listened to plenty of plane crash stories.
I know. It's just, I think it's like so easy to empathize with the victims because you're just like, God, everyone's worst nightmare.
Right. And it's, and there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. And maybe like that, there's like some beauty in that, that like,
yeah,
you just like accept immediately, like, okay, well,
like, I'm going to run to the bar cart.
This will be over soon.
Yeah. Run to the bar cart and just start taking airplane pulls. Four at a time, just shove them down.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you can do.
I've said it before, I wish you could just be like knocked out on the flight.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know, I feel like unfortunately the aviation experience is going the opposite way.
I know,
but it'd be pretty cool if we could just like take a little nitrous. Right. Just like they have it right away you while you're seated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sort of like coast
just
to 14
to, like,
hour
meditation
flight.
Hours.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's too bad.
Now they're selling
billions in the world. We can't even fly comfortably.
I know, fucking billion. Like, I was thinking about this the other day about billionaires.
Oh,
why just not give away money?
Why not?
Yeah, like
I think that's the question everyone is asking.
And like, why be so hated by everybody? And like, you're definitely gonna like disappear from history at some point. You're just gonna be some random fucking jerk off. But if you were a billionaire and you were like, I don't know, paying for everyone's student loans, buying kids lunches for fucking years, you know, like doing some real humanitarian work.
That is still the feeling of that.
Yeah.
If you are that type of person, is probably like
foreign.
Yes. To and most people. Yeah. Anyone really. Yeah. Like, how many people can say, I imagine that's like the like best drug.
Right.
In the world. Like, it's an experience. It's like
super rich.
Knowing that you are like, no, just knowing that you're like doing good things for other people and like improving. Like, this just feels, it's gotta be like some deep satisfaction.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, if you have so much money, you're still like,
and you're still, you can still live the same way you live.
Like fucking Elon and Bezos, like they could spend billions on shit and still be billionaires. It's insane.
I know. Yeah.
Like, why aren't you just like doing something good? I guess you're just not good people, but fuck, man. Like, if you really wanted to be, like, worship, like, the narcissist you are, I don't care what you're, like, doing it for. If you want to have people worship you because you're, like, this person who saved the world, more or less, or, like, solved the world hunger, who the fuck cares if you did it? I don't know. That's, I guess, my capitalism corner.
How did we get here? Oh, the aviation industry.
Yeah. Sorry.
And we're going to carry on with this terrifying tale. I know.
Yeah. So
that we don't have any airplane nitrous for.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So.
God damn it.
On December 29th, 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 took off from JFK International Airport, heading for Miami International Airport. So the aircraft itself was a brand new Lockheed 1011 TriStar, which is L-1011 is what they're called.
Okay.
So these commercial aircrafts could hold up to 400 passengers. Oh, it's a big plane. And they can travel up to 4,000 miles and have 3 Rolls-Royce engines in them.
Okay.
It's a fancy fucking plane. And this is an ad for them.
Okay.
And a lot of these planes, they had like a downstairs, like lobby in them.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. Definitely. I mean, I know there are some planes that have that, but.
I know. I wouldn't think you would need. You said from JFK to Miami-Dade?
I don't know if this one specifically did, but a lot of these planes did have that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like you wouldn't even need such a big plane for that, but maybe you do. Maybe there's a lot of people going to Miami. Maybe there is.
Yeah. In December.
It's sort of like a jump off for like all the Bahamas and stuff like that.
A cruise.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah. You're
New Year's Eve.
Okay,
yeah.
You're right.
So this aircraft in the 1970s was a top-of-the-line airplane, including having sophisticated newer autopilot technology, which will be a big part of the story later. So this plane only had been in Eastern Airlines fleet for about 4 months. It's a brand new plane. So the 163 passengers were on board the December 1972 flight, along with the 10 cabin crew members and the 3 pilots. Hmm. So the pilot in charge of the flight was 55-year-old Captain Robert Loft, who had almost 30,000 hours of flight experience, which is a lot.
Seems like a lot to me.
And he only had 280 hours with the L-1011.
Okay. But still seems like a lot
of
hours.
It's a very new plane, I think, for this fleet specifically. So
how many weeks is that? You said 280? 280
hours.
7 weeks?
Yeah, about a little bit over a month, I would say.
2 months, or almost 2 months.
So, yeah, I mean, he had flown these planes, but he had had, like, a ton of experience with other planes prior.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. So, next we have 39-year-old Albert Stocksill, who was the first officer. And he had 5,800 hours of flight experience, along with 306 hours on the L-1011. So, about the same amount of experience with this plane. So, lastly, we have 51-year-old flight engineer Donald Repo, who had 15,700 hours of flight experience and only 53 hours on the L-1011. You will hear the dog in the background, so just everyone be aware. He is here and he will make himself be known, whether we want it or not.
Shaking.
No.
It's like spinning in circles, dancing.
Are you done?
On tippy toes.
Are you done? Okay.
Get it. So strange.
He's a weird dog. And this is, he's a... Coleman.
Throw it.
You're just supposed to chew on that. You dummy.
He needs to teach it who's boss first.
So these are the pilots.
Okay, one of them could get it.
I know. I knew. That's a 39-year-old.
So. That's hot. That's hot.
Okay. So weather for the flight to Miami looked good, and at 9:20 p.m., the flight set off. The pilot set the autopilot, and it looks like it should just be an easy flight, and it was pretty uneventful flying to Miami. In order to kind of understand what happened on this flight, we're going to have to talk about the autopilot system on this plane.
Okay.
So it's going to be technical in the sense of that I'm a novice. I'm not even a novice. I'm not a novice pilot. I'm no pilot.
No. So not flying.
Just be aware that.
Not licensed.
Some of the not things flying. I might. Yeah, I'm not licensed. I've never played a pilot on TV. I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay,
but
well.
I did my best. Okay. So the autopilot for the L-1011 had 2 channels, A and B. And A would give the commands and notifications to the captain, which would be Bob Loft in this sense, and B would give the commands to the first officer, which would be Albert Stockso, the guy who said you can get
Albert. Okay. Yeah. Albert Sahadi.
So to understand what happened with this crash, we kind of have to understand how the autopilot on the plane works, like I just said. So the autopilot has two functions, one being more advanced than the other. So the more basic of the two functions does something called control wheel steering, which you set by turning the yoke, which is the steering wheel of the plane, or the, mm-hmm. you know, wheel isn't the right word, but you know what I mean. And the autopilot holds whatever basically you set the yoke at,
okay.
like on the horizon.
Oh, okay.
So Eastern Airlines at the time had a policy that actually told pilots not to use this function on the autopilot system.
Eastern Airlines?
Mm-hmm. That's the name of this.
What year was this?
1972.
Oh, I was like, I never... Again, this is part of the aviation problem.
The monopolies. Okay. Yeah. Eastern Air. Well, yeah. You're not supposed to use autopilot.
Yeah.
For any of
this type of plane? Autopilot.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's two functions. This is the more basic function.
Okay.
Is like this steering thing.
Okay.
That basically just kind of sets the steering wheel and like the elevation and it just holds it.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So the more advanced version of the autopilot for this flight is more or less what we think as cruise control, I would say.
Okay.
In our cars.
Sounds like what you explained before.
So it keeps the plane at a standard speed and altitude along with like the steering.
Oh, you can do it. Okay.
And the elevation and stuff.
Wow. The plane just flies itself.
It basically flies itself. Yeah. So a weird function of this plane's cruise control is that if you are on the more advanced version of the autopilot and move the yoke or like bump it when you're like doing whatever, it will bump the autopilot down to the more basic of the two autopilot settings.
And you might not know.
Then you might not know.
Holy shit, that sounds extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm.
And the only indication that this changed was a single light on the gas control panel.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not great.
Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. Okay.
Yeah, you see where this is going. Yes. Now. Yeah. So around 11 p.m., Flight 401 reaches Miami and gets ready to land. But when the landing gears for the plane are opened, one of the lights on the control panel that indicates the front landing gear was open and locked in place doesn't change over. Hmm. It like basically goes like from red to green, and it doesn't change over. So they don't know if it's locked and ready to go.
It stays red.
Yeah, it stays red. So Captain Loft radios in air traffic control and tells them what's happening. So air traffic control advises the flight to stay at 2,000 feet and basically just circle back around over the Everglades.
Try it again.
Until they figure out the issue.
Okay, sure.
Running out of fuel isn't an issue because the L-1011 has twice the amount of fuel it needed for this flight to Miami.
Okay, I have to say, spend so much time around people talking about airplanes and like there's numbers and things that are thrown around and terms that are thrown around that I do not understand, but I feel like this conversation is helping me explain why you have like certain elevation, like you have to apply certain things can fly at certain elevations and so that it's like an elevated highway in the sky. So if you got somebody at 2,000 feet and everyone else is up here at 10, like they're not going to hit each other.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's air traffic control.
Air traffic control is a serious fucking
job. Very serious.
Yeah. We have seen how it can be very bad if we don't have the right people working in that job.
Yes, that's true.
At the beginning of the year. So
anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So at this point, the more advanced autopilot is on. So it's keeping them at the altitude, just keeping them at the speed. It's basically just keeping them in the circle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Captain Loft and First Officer Stockstill are focused on this stupid little light and trying to figure out what's going on. They're like tapping it. He basically puts the landing gear back up and then, you know, he's like
playing around with it. Turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So Captain Loft actually eventually pulls the panel to these lights out and is trying to see if there's something like wrong with the wiring in there, and he actually like kind of breaks it a little bit, unfortunately.
Okay. Sure.
So then First Officer Stockstill is also very focused on this light too, unfortunately. So what should have been happening is that Stockstill should have been paying attention to operating the aircraft while Loft is trying to figure out the light.
How do they know this? Because of the recordings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first big error, I would say.
Damn it.
So the next error that happens is when Loft turns the light back to flight engineer Donald Repo, because he's kind of behind them in the cockpit. Sure. And so when he turns around, he tells him to open the hatch, because there's a hatch. It's called the hell hole.
Okay.
And in the hell hole, there are little windows that you can basically physically go out and like visually confirm that landing gears are down.
Okay.
So he turns around. He tells him to do that. And the theory is, when Loft turned around his seat to tell Repo to do this, he bumped the yoke, aka the steering wheel, which caused the autopilot to go into the control steering mode, which is like the most basic, the more basic of the autopilot, which causes the plane to stop cruising at 2,000 feet and is now on a trajectory down.
It's landing and they're not
trying to land the plane. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So this trajectory is very gradual. And it's so gradual that none of the pilot crew notice it.
Oh my God. Okay.
So while this plane is slowly moving towards the ground, Repo then tries the engineer. He tries to go down and see if he can see the landing gear, but he says he can't see anything because they're flying at night over the Everglades. God damn it. So this leads to error number 3.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Because there's actually a little light that you need to switch on in the control panel up top to be able to see outside the landing gear.
Oh my God.
On this plane.
Our boy really fucked it up. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And there's also a little cover over like the porthole window. And there's like a thing you're supposed to use to open it. And they don't know that. So he's basically just
a new plane. And this is a weird thing that shouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Okay.
So in the cockpit recording of the flight, you hear a single alarm indicating that the plane has moved 250 feet from the set altitude down.
Oh, okay. That's good.
On
doesn't
the
seem like too much.
Mm-hmm. However, the speaker for this chime is above the flight engineer seat, and the flight engineer is down in the bottom of the hell hole.
And they couldn't hear it.
It's just one little chime, and that's it. It's not like a beep, 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 beep. It's just like a...
Because 250...
Yeah, it's basically, it's telling them
something's happened.
There's something happening. And
oh my God.
There's like ground radar on, like, it's like a new technology during this time. And like this specific plane didn't have that technology on the plane yet.
Okay.
Because it's still a very new thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so now, you know, in today's flight technology, there is obviously going to be a lot more alarms going off, but they're like getting closer and closer to the ground that wouldn't have been on this flight specifically. So,
okay,
just to give everyone a little bit of peace of mind, like this wouldn't happen in today's era. So air traffic control does see that flight 401 does seem to be descending because they're monitoring it, right? And they radio in, ask the pilots if everything is okay. And Captain Loft radios back and tells them that they're coming back around, but they're still figuring out the problem. And it sounds like air traffic control didn't raise as much of an alarm because this is still like, this is the 70s. The actual like radar detection, the variance with the altitude on the planes is a lot bigger than it is now. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, maybe it's an error in our software situation. Okay. Everyone's kind of assuming that
it's going to be fine.
Everything's fine, right?
Because usually it is.
Mm-hmm. So this is when this transmission is captured over the radio. So first officer, we did something to the altitude. Captain, what? First officer, we're still at 2,000 feet, right? Captain, hey, what's happening here? A few seconds later, after that last transmission at 11:42, the L-1011 crashes into the Everglades.
A few seconds later?
Mm-hmm. That's the last transmission. So the plane crashes down at an angle. So the left wing hits the ground first at 197 knots, which is 226 miles per hour. And then the plane instantly breaks up into pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 101 people perish in this crash.
Okay.
And it seems like the only reason why 75 people survived this crash is mainly because they landed in the deep mud of the Everglades.
Oh,
so it's like
that's bad.
Softest landing, I guess,
you have. Yes.
So
I'm like not trying to be one of those 75 people. No offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Please just let it be over.
Yeah.
Like I expected it would be.
Right.
When I found, actually no one even knew.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't probably even,
no.
The pilots didn't know.
No. Yeah. No one knew.
You don't think anybody was like, this feels weird.
I don't know. I don't know. They might have all been asleep. It's the middle of the fucking night. Or drunk. It's the 70s.
Oh my God. Okay. I hope they didn't know.
I hope so too. Yeah. So Captain Loft and First Officer Stocksill are killed on the impact. Donald Repo, the engineer, dies later in the hospital.
Mm.
Two men that are night fishing in the Everglades on their airboat, they witnessed the crash.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a sight.
Mm-hmm. So they described it as it was like a ball of flame and then just instantly went away.
Wow.
I think because of the water and the mud. It looks like...
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like... And then nothing.
Oh, God. Okay.
They are the first on the scene on the crash. It's first people.
Do you think if we were on our airboat, we would be like, let's go towards that?
I probably.
Okay. You do seem like the type.
Meg's like, can't be bothered.
It's just like, I don't know what that is. I'll call it in. I don't think I need to investigate whoever the fuck that is.
I called the sheriff when I thought I found a foot beach.
I did encourage you to do that though. Yeah. Calling is fine. Do you need to go and see what it is yourself? I don't know. I'd be terrified.
I don't know.
But these men are heroes.
Yeah, yeah. They start pulling survivors out of the mud until the Coast Guard shows up.
Yes, I remember.
And
okay.
It's described heroes. As like, there were some people like deep stuck in the mud, still in the chairs. And they also described like one man, his like clothes were completely like burned off of him.
Oh my God.
And like the impact, this like vaporized his clothes.
What? See, who needs to live? I mean, okay. I want to live through it.
I don't know.
I can't. Yeah. I need to read. There's got to be a book about this.
There probably is.
I need to read one. I'm fascinated. Okay.
So the crash is determined to be a group of small errors by the pilot crew that led to this crash.
Yeah.
And this crash specifically changes a lot of standards.
Yeah.
One being that if one person's fixing a problem, the other person basically has to ignore them and fly the plane.
Got it. Yep. Please. Why else are there two of you there?
Mm-hmm. And then also there was a change in having like directions, like the little window below.
Okay.
Like having directions, like a sticker saying right like how you open this window or how you work this window.
Okay.
There's like little stuff, stuff like that. And then also having flashlights on planes.
Okay.
Because when they crashed in the Everglades, it was completely pitch black and there was no flashlights.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's like these little things that you wouldn't think of until something really bad happens.
I'm not sure how having flashlights on the plane would
because, I mean, you could be able to see.
But, where does the flashlight end up if crashes?
They're attached in different parts of the plane.
Okay, like so on if the you wall, were near a Porsche.
Like in a panel or something.
Okay.
They're attached in like different places.
Okay.
I mean, I'd rather be able to have an option. Sure. Have no option.
No, okay, sure.
You know.
Sure, sure. Why not? It's a flashlight. Yeah.
So this is where the story gets way more weird and paranormal.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I'm with you.
Yeah. And we will get into that stuff right after this.
After a quick break.
After a quick break.
Hey. You ever get that feeling there's something in the dark watching you? If you're like me, you can't look away. That's why I want to tell you about Creepy Shit. It's the podcast that dives into the strange, the haunted, the downright unholy, true crime that never got answers, folklore that refuses to die, and stories that cling to you long after you're done listening. Every week, you're invited to sit by the fire with the rest of us creepers and hear something you'll want to share in a hushed voice. So if you're ready to explore things that might go bump in the night and things that don't make a sound at all, subscribe to Creepy Shit Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Join us. We've been waiting for you.
So since the L-1011 was such a new plane that they had just purchased, Eastern Airlines, Lockheed decides to repurpose the parts from the crash and use them in other planes of their fleet.
I can't fucking believe you could do that.
It didn't, why would you do that?
It didn't seem like a very
weird thing.
No, I think like most airplane companies did that. It's wild. I guess they do like a lot of testing to make sure that the parts are fine.
I don't know if they still do that.
I think it is really expensive. I think that's a big part of it. And like that plane was so new. It was like 4 months old.
And that is insane.
It is insane.
It seems like
it totaled. I don't know if it's still a practice.
The plane is totaled.
I know. It was like in five pieces.
I can't.
But I don't know. Okay. I don't know. So they were able to resalvage some stuff and put them in different planes.
Of course. All right.
Yeah. Fuck.
It was the theme is capitalism.
Yeah, the theme, unfortunately, is capitalism.
Okay.
We're just in the late stage of it. Okay, so after the parts are repurposed, for the next 3 years after the Flight 401 crash, flight crews and passengers on other Eastern airline flights begin claiming that they are having terrifying experiences on the planes that had parts from Flight 401.
I mean,
energy.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Travels. Lingers. Mm-hmm. And those people really... at least hopefully all of them had no idea it was coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so they're just like, what the hell? I was in this seat.
Yeah. And now I'm on a different...
Now, who... I don't know. I'm still in the seat? Like, am I flying?
What the fuck is happening?
It's like lost.
Yeah. So anytime an Eastern Airline employee would talk to their superior about a paranormal experience they had, they were told to keep it quiet.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like,
now this is five planes.
Mm-hmm. They're like, not doing it. We're not talking about this. And I kind of understand, but like...
Yeah, because it seems crazy.
Yeah, I know, right? Especially in the 70s.
Honestly, so does flying in a tube in the sky.
I know,
so,
and it's all crazy.
That's real.
I know, it's all crazy.
So
some employees were even sent to a psychiatrist, or they were fired if they kept like bringing up like an experience they had.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. However, there have been numerous... Eastern Airline employees or previous employees, this airline's no longer.
Who bought them? Or did they? I'm so curious.
Who bought
Eastern Airlines? Or like, what is Eastern Airlines
I
now?
I didn't go into the history of Eastern Airlines. I'm sorry.
To look that up.
Okay, so there have been numerous Eastern Airline employees that have come forward and shared their personal experiences and paranormal experiences with the press anonymously.
Oh, anonymously. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share some of the stories now.
Please do.
Yeah. So in March of 1973, so a few months after Flight 401 had crashed, two female flight attendants whose names had been changed to Jenny and Denise were working on Eastern Airlines flight on plane number 318, which was an L-1011, and they were flying from New York to Fort Lauderdale. And I don't think the fact that they're flying from New York to Florida is not
a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's another story, similar flight pattern.
Interesting.
Yeah. So on this flight, you had a main flight cabin where the passengers would sit and two elevators that would take you down to basically like an in-plane kitchen for the flight.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And the flight attendants would use that to prepare food and drinks for passengers.
Okay.
During this time. There's like ovens and stuff.
Wow.
So during this flight, Denise was up on the top of the passenger cabin, basically, and she was taking food and drink orders. And once she realized she had gotten everyone's orders, she decides to head down to the kitchen to help Jenny with preparing the orders that she had just taken. And they were like pretty good friends, and so they kind of always tried to work together.
Okay. Fun.
I know, right? So at the same time, Denise was heading down to the kitchen in the elevator. Jenny was heading up to the cabin, the passenger cabin, in the other elevator. There was two elevators on this plane.
Okay.
To see if Denise needed help. So they're basically trying to help each other.
They're missing each other,
yeah. So when Jenny was up top and asked around to where Denise was, the other flight attendants told her that she had just actually gone down to the kitchen to look for her. It's like, you know, you guys are like just going back and forth.
There's a circle.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're shopping with somebody in the grocery store and you can't find each other between the aisles.
Circling.
Yeah.
You're like, am I in a time warp? What is happening?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it happens frequently. Let's be real. You can always find me in the wine aisle.
Go to where the brown liquor is. That's where I am.
Oh, the brown stuff.
The brown liquor, the donuts.
Okay. So Jenny then goes back down to the kitchen area to find Denise. To give you an idea what this kitchen area looks like, it's basically like a long hallway that's almost the length of the plane. And on one side, there's like an oven type thing. It seems like it might be similar to Starbucks.
Wow.
And how they cook the food now. Like if you order the whatever, egg bites or something. Okay. Or, you know.
It's like a little microwave.
It's almost like a little microwave, but it's like a convection microwave thing. So on one side, there are those. There's like a bunch of those ovens. The carts are kind of like underneath the ovens, like all the beverage carts and stuff that what we think of with flight attendants. And then the other side is like cabinets for storage and things like cups and plates, et cetera, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So then when
galley kitchen.
Yeah, pretty much. And so when you step off the elevator, you're stepping into the kitchen.
Okay.
So there's also a wall with a door to the right side that would bring you into the lounge of the plane.
I know nothing about airplanes. I had no idea that on our commercial airplanes, there's all this space.
Yeah.
An elevator.
Two elevators. I literally
just thought, no joke, that it's just a floor that we're on.
Underneath. I think for most planes, it is like that.
Just where the luggage and the pets go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's like a nicer, this is like a nicer airplane because this plane has a lounge.
Tell us all about the lounge.
Yeah. So it's basically like what exactly it sounds like. There's like couches, there's chairs, there's a bar.
Who gets to go down there? Nobody?
I think it might be first class. Might be like a first class lounge situation.
God damn it.
So from where Jenny got off the elevator into the kitchen area, she can see the door to the lounge. But she can't, like, see into the lounge because it's kind of up over to the right.
Okay.
So it's not, like, a straight shot. So the kitchen is empty and the door is shut to the lounge.
All right.
So Ginny claims as soon as she got off the elevator into the plane kitchen, she had a feeling that someone was also in the bottom of the area. And she thinks it's Denise.
Okay, sure.
So Ginny begins plating meals and, like, just getting all that stuff ready. And she's expecting Denise to eventually pop in because she's not being quiet. Like, she's prepping, you know, she's doing whatever. And she kind of expects Denise to come in and start helping
her. And also, they have to get this fucking stuff done.
Exactly.
They're on a schedule.
Yeah, yeah. But Denise doesn't pop up.
Okay.
So Ginny starts to feel more and more anxious down in the kitchen area because she says it feels like someone else is down there and they're just, like, not letting themselves be known. So it's like, is there some fucking creep down here? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, no, that'd be scary.
Like, you know, like, I'm down here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, getting more anxious. She's looking over her shoulders. And eventually she walks over and opens the door to the lounge. She's like, who the fuck is here? You know? And there's no one in there.
Oh, okay.
So she's convinced that she isn't down there by herself. And so she starts looking behind all the couches, like, looking behind all the chairs. She's like, whoever is fucking down here, I'm going to find them. She's like, I am freaked out now.
Oh, wow.
But there's no one. So, more freaked out, Ginny sprints back to the kitchen.
Exactly. And
into the elevator, starts, like, pounding on the button because she just feels like someone's following her. She gets up into the passenger level in the cabin. She pours out of the elevator, basically freaking out. And she's, like, pale. She's, you know, kind of having anxiety attacks, what it sounds like. And another flight attendant sees she is visibly shaken and pale.
Wow.
And so she takes her to the back of the plane to where Denise is. Denise is also visibly shaken and pale and describes the exact same feeling that Ginny had down in the kitchen.
No.
She basically had the exact same experience separately.
Oh, my God.
Like,
why else would she have gone into the lounge?
Right? Like, they're both like, someone else is down here and they're not making themselves known. They're, like, freaking out.
Wow.
And so I think that's the more compelling part of this story, because one, you could be like, oh, she probably just had a panic attack or something, you know, but like two people having the exact same experience minutes apart is fucking weird.
Oh my God.
So in April of 1973, a month after Jenny and Denise's experience on the same L-1011 plane 318, it was being boarded in Newark to fly down to Miami. Once again, New York area down to Florida. So the head flight attendant for this flight, a woman who went by the nickname Sis, was doing a head count of all the passengers on board when she realizes she had one too many people on board this flight.
Whoa.
While doing a recount of the passengers, Sis thinks she's figured out the discrepancy. In one of the first class seats, a man in an Eastern Airlines pilot uniform with a hat on. And she assumes that this man is deadheading, which is when pilots basically taxi or take a ride
yeah.
to go to whatever airport they need to get to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's not uncommon for pilots not to say something to okay. the crew. They'll be like, oh, I'm deadheading. They usually just like, they look at the manifest. They're like, okay, there's extra seats. I'm going to go sit in this seat type Got of situation.
It. And they just walk on.
Mm-hmm.
They yeah. don't have to like register
Probably
it
okay.
very curious.
Now. Probably very different now.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. There, I would say during this era, that's how they mm-hmm. would often do it. So Sis walks up to this man in the seat and introduces herself and asks him for his name so she can record him as a pilot deadheading. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't care. She's like, let me write down your name, right? But this man is just staring straight ahead and isn't answering her. So Sis asks the man again what his name was, and she just needs to record it. She's like, I don't care. Like, you're not in like trouble or anything. Like, I just need to make sure I have your name down, right? But the man doesn't even seem to like register that she's there.
Whoa.
And she's like standing like, you know, in the aisle, like right in front of him, essentially.
Yeah, it's close
you know?
Quarters.
Yeah. So another flight attendant named Diane walks up to see what the issue is while Sis is asking for a third time what this guy's name is. And once again, just he's just staring straight forward, mm-hmm. not acknowledging. And now two flight attendants are standing there.
Do they both see him?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. He's like,
there.
Yeah, like a full man. So Sis is now like, fuck it. She goes and grabs the pilot.
Okay.
She's like,
he's one of yours.
This is above my pay grade.
Go deal with him.
Yeah, exactly. And Diane stays back with a guy who is still just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing his pilot cap, so they're not really like seeing his face. And he's not like looking up at them.
Okay.
So just give
okay.
you an idea.
Okay.
By the time that Sis grabs the captain named George, six other passengers are also standing around and, you know, being like, what the fuck is going on? Being like a little nosy, as you would.
Okay.
Like, what's the tea, you know?
Interesting.
And, you know, like, what's the situation here?
Yes.
Right?
Anything at all goes down uh-huh. on an airplane, we're all just like,
yeah.
Like, what's happening?
Like, we want...
You start...
Yeah.
Lifting your... Uh-huh. Stretching like, your neck above the seat.
We want the plane tea.
You just lift your yeah. phone up.
Exactly. Now we all record it. And it's, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Okay. And you know, like, because we don't want our flight attendants to be distressed mm-hmm. because we're all worried that mm-hmm. something could go wrong mm-hmm. on this flight.
Mm-hmm. So George crouches down to the look at this captain in the face.
No.
Because he's wearing the hat. Remember, because, you know, he's not like looking up. And once George looks the man in the face, he falls backwards out of shock and yells, oh, my God, that's Bob Lott.
Oh, because he knows him.
Because he knows him.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Before anyone could react further to George's reaction.
Now I'm terrified. The pilot is just
fell backwards.
Taking a tumble. He fainted. Like, he's visibly free.
He's like, fuck,
I just saw a dead hell? I saw a, there's a ghost
I looked
on
a
this
dead
plane.
Man in the face.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No.
Amazing.
Amazing. So before anyone could react further to George's reaction of the captain seeing in the first class, George, Sis, Diane, and the six other passengers watched this man disappear into
no
thin air.
No fucking way. Okay, that's rude, sir.
He's like, oh God, I have to leave, I guess.
It's honestly, like, I'm hearing you and I love every second of it. I'm mm-hmm. just like, my brain can't comprehend that that really happened. I'm like, that didn't happen. That is, and I believe it. And I'm like, that's impossible. That's, you could never recover from something
I
like
know.
That.
I would talk about this every fucking day.
I would literally need to be medicated. Actually.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do my life, because then I'd be like, they're just out here and we can't see them, and they're just like walking through walls and disappearing and appearing and shit, and they're watching us
mm-hmm. like, and they're just like hanging out. So the six passengers, like you just said, become hysterical.
Oh, completely.
And start freaking out. So George, Sis, and Diane are also freaking out, but they're trying to be more stoic, right?
Well, they are at work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're trained for this. So yeah. Not this,
not
but
this.
To calm
they're
down.
They're trying to keep shit in order, but I don't know how you can keep this shit in order.
They have got to be so rattled. Like, like you would be fried.
Yeah. I don't think I'd like stop shaking for a week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You would be, yes, shaking.
Yeah. 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 So they then have the flight crew search the plane, because they're like, what else do we do? I don't fucking know. Yeah. You know,
you start like trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, yeah, they're trying to make sense of it. And so they search the plane for like an hour.
Oh my god.
Come up empty handed. Nothing. They're like,
was he the one that was in the kitchen eating?
Oh, I don't know.
Was there someone else?
Was another flight attendant? Like a flight attendant just doing her job down there.
Was he? But was it George? Do we think that was like there? And then
not
he
George.
Was also...
George is the pilot that saw the ghost. And was like, that's Bob.
Bob. Oh, Loft. Bob's the ghost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
was a ghost named Bob.
Was Bob like haunting the girls downstairs, and then he's like upstairs, or was it two, or are there multiple?
Yeah, this is two different incidents.
Oh. Okay. I think this plane is fucking crazy.
It's the same plane, just two different incidents.
No.
Yeah.
Retire it. This plane
put
needs...
it in a goddamn museum.
Yeah. Make it a hotel. I don't know.
No. Okay. Okay, sorry, Carrie.
Yeah. So once landing in Miami, George, Sis, and Diane file a formal complaint about this incident.
Yeah.
They're like, this fucking happened. And the passengers are going to say something.
The passengers are going to say something.
Right.
Okay, sure.
But the report disappeared a few weeks later.
No way. From of the course. Log. Yeah, they were like, this one's too real. Mm-hmm.
And Eastern Airlines claims that no report was ever filed.
I hope Eastern Airlines paid those people the gaslighting. The ass.
The gaslighting is
they
insane.
They better have paid them.
And it's funny because there was a couple other captains that read the report because they heard about it. They're holy shit, I got to read this.
Sure.
And
you talk to your friend about it.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a bunch of people who knew other airline pilots that were like,
no, it existed once.
Yeah, it existed once. It was there.
But okay, why did they just file another one?
It's just like gaslighting.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. So another incident of seeing Captain Loft was witnessed by an Eastern Airlines executive, and he ran off the plane and demanded that the plane be searched because he's like, I just saw somebody in the plane with me.
Wow.
But once again, nothing was found.
Wow.
Yeah. So another incident on plane 318 happened in the cockpit itself. This plane is fucking haunted.
Extremely.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could figure out. I tried to figure out like what parts were used.
Yeah.
On this plane specifically.
I know, right?
And I couldn't figure it out, unfortunately. Yeah. So the two pilots say that they heard pounding from the hell hole.
Okay.
So the hatch thing underneath, and it sounded like someone needed out of it. Which is fucking creepy.
The engineer down there.
Mm-hmm. So one of the pilots opened the hatch and went down to investigate to find nothing out of the ordinary.
Mm.
But when he went to climb back up out of the hellhole, took a ladder, he saw Don Repo like looking down at him, and then he vanishes.
I hate it.
Sorry. These are fucking
I'm
pilots.
I'm in a hole in the dark, and a ghost is above me, looking
staring
down
at me, looking at me.
I hate it. I can't. How do they even materialize, like, to the, like, average person? Like, people who aren't, like, sensitive to this. Like,
I don't know.
I don't. The energy's, like, gotta be just, like, so strong.
Crazy. I think it's just because of the... died so suddenly and abruptly, and they were just doing their job, and
oh my goodness,
everything's attached to like whatever parts they put in. I don't know.
So crazy.
Yeah. So another Don Repo sighting happened with another pilot who walked into the cockpit and saw Don Repo standing in front of him and told him that there was a malfunction with one of the plane's engines before he vanishes in front of him.
The engineer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the pilot had the engine looked at, and the malfunction that he said was there.
A good ghost.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know. He's like, hey, you should go check this out.
I guess like whatever your character is before you die.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like nefarious shit that's happening. It's just
weird.
Fucking weird, right?
Yes.
Weird and spooky.
Jarring.
Yeah. Yeah. For the next 3 years after the crash of Flight 401, any Eastern Airlines plane that had a part from the plane crash had numerous incidents of seeing figures appear and disappear.
That's fucking wild.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm jealous.
And now I'm jealous.
I was like, would be so epic.
I know. Like, I would never shut up about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nor should you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So flight attendants would talk about feeling a presence like the one Denise and Ginny had experienced. and Eastern Airlines continued with their claims that there was nothing wrong with these planes and that all these stories were just that, stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But 3 years after these stories kept happening and people kept coming forward and kept talking about it, passengers, pilots, flight attendants, other crew, like there was a catering story where like one of the guys like was bringing food on board and he like runs out screaming.
Whoa.
And quits.
Oh my goodness.
He never talked about what he saw, but he's like, I'm out of here.
He saw something real.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's so real that you're like a human person was mm-hmm. physically there and then vanished into thin air. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would do the same. I'd mm-hmm. be like, I'm not, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't happen. So Eastern Airlines, 3 years after the crash and replacing plane parts, would quietly remove and replace all of the remaining parts that originated from Flight 401.
Like, who? I'm just like, would die to be in those conversations those boardrooms where they're like, no, this is a real thing.
We're just going to have to
and
get
like
rid of
flipping through it and all someone's these like finance blowhards mm-hmm, are like, mm-hmm. you know what?
Okay.
Let's just cut our losses and remove the parts.
We got to do it because mm-hmm. it's just a little bit much.
Mm-hmm. Like someone's like wife who's like a little bit psychic.
The one that like hands.
Or the executive that saw something.
Oh, totally.
He probably would actually.
Or like you're working there and you're like one of the like machinists or mm-hmm. something. And mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know, like taking the plane apart. Mm-hmm. And you're like, maybe there is something
shit about
to
this
it.
Plane, dude.
There's something to yeah. it. And you're like unscrewing the bolts and like, mm-hmm, what mm-hmm. Wow.
So after that, after all the parts were removed, all the incidents that had been occurring had abruptly stopped.
Oh my goodness.
So once they removed the parts, it stopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do they do with the parts? They should have put it back together.
I don't know.
Put it in a museum.
Give them to a priest.
Like, no, they need a psychic problem. Medium there to be mm-hmm. like, hey, y'all.
I know. I would like to think that maybe like there's an executive who has like a kind of a woo-woo wife.
Hopefully.
You know, she's like, I'll handle
send
this.
Someone over there
I've got this. I've got this shit. Like, her and her like a paranormal girlies. Just sage everything.
A proper 70s witch.
Yeah. I love it. Like Stevie Nicks is there. Yes, for sure.
It was Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks, once again, same day.
This is a Stevie Nicks fan club.
Right? Oh, for sure.
For sure. We will always stand Stevie Nicks. So the crash of Flight 401 was one of the aviation's darkest moments, a tragedy born from a small malfunction that led to catastrophic loss. But as the wreckage was pulled from the Everglades, stories began to circulate. Ghostly figures seen on the Eastern Airlines planes, eerie warnings whispered by crew members who were no longer among the living. Whether you believe in spirits or not, Flight 401 left behind more than broken metal and shattered lives. It left a legacy of mystery and an unsettling reminder that some tragedies refuse to stay buried beneath the dark, murky water.
Oh.
And that is the Flight 401 story.
Oh my God, Flight 401. Like two fucking banger episodes.
I know, I know. Nice. I feel like it's a good one to start because now we're officially in September.
Oh, okay.
So we're like...
she's like saving on the good ones.
No. Like just ones. Post-Labor Day or after Labor uh-huh. Day, it's spooky season, baby.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Well, it's technically not Labor Day yet, but...
Oh, by the time you...
Yes.
Ah, recording schedules.
Yes, we were still recording this in August, but we're releasing this in September.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I
You're
loved
welcome.
It.
I know.
10 out of 10.
The one with the first class.
That... It, if
that's
someone disappears
insane.
In front of you, I can't.
Yeah, in front of multiple people.
Yes.
Like, what?
And thank God multiple
fuck?
People were there.
I know.
I tell you the story about the woman I saw eating a burrito. It was in her hands, and she ate the middle of the burrito, stuck just face to the middle of the burrito, hot. Like, not
like
even
a corn
hot dog style.
Like...
Corn pop style. Yes, just like biting in the middle of it. And I thought that was the craziest shit I'd ever seen. And I looked over and the guy sitting next to me, and we're both like, are you seeing this?
Sometimes we need a witness.
So what I'm saying is, thank God, a person disappears in front of you. A pilot?
A captain.
You're like a man in a uniform on a plane. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, he's mm-hmm. one of them. He's important.
Yeah.
You know, and then he vanishes into yeah. thin air
yeah.
in front of you. You're definitely looking at the person next to you like, what the actual fuck is
yes.
happening?
Yes. Everyone freaked out.
Oh my God.
It's
they
crazy.
Probably got paid for sure.
Hopefully.
Well, I don't know. Nowadays they would. But
yeah, now they would for sure.
He might have backed up.
They probably like got gaslit back then.
That sucks.
I know.
Anyway, unfortunately. Such a good story. Thank you.
It's a crazy one. I love that story. It's very a spooky, good. Spooky airplane.
Very spooky.
Yeah.
A haunted airplane.
A haunted airplane. We'll have to look up to see who Eastern Airlines is now.
We should have more things that are just not houses that are haunted. It's more fun.
That's actually really great for next week.
Okay. All righty. Well,
thank you guys for listening. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah, rate and review.
Do all the things. Mm-hmm. It really helps us out. We have been getting more reviews.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I guess if they're nice.
No, they are nice. We still have 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so that's great.
We're probably not getting that many reviews.
God, we have some goddamn positivity. Whatever.
I don't see them, so I don't. I have to like, no. They're not posted immediately, so I never see them.
Mm-mm. No. Well, thank you guys. And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
It's probably not that many.
No, I just mean it. Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.